The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
I'll give you credit, Samoa Joe. That coquina clutch was everything you warned me it was gonna be. I could not breathe. I saw a white flash, and as I was panicking and gasping my last breath, that was it. The next thing I know, they're waking me up. And when I woke up, the first thing I thought of was, oh dear God, what if Samoa Joe puts that coquina clutch on Brock Lesnar? What happens to the Universal Championship then? What happens to the Universal Champion? What happens to my client, Brock Lesnar? And then I realized, you will never get the coquina clutch on Brock Lesnar, because you ain't man enough to get the coquina clutch on Brock Lesnar.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your host, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 251, part 1. And we, of course, are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. Also, man, go check out all our other great content by going and subscribing to the W2M Network. That's also a big part of our website. So we make sure that you get everything podcast-wise when it comes to that whole scenario of W2Mnet.com. Also, don't forget, Wrestling to the Max alone is a place you can also go subscribe. Make sure you go ahead and rate and review while you're there. Do us that favor. It just lets the voices be heard. That's right. Not only does it get us out there, but it also gives us an opportunity to interact with more people like yourself. So we're excited about tonight. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Deezer.
Heyo.
And tonight we are not with Sean. Sean has been working really hard. This has been a tough week. We mentioned it last Thursday night that he may not be a part of the show, and that's kind of what took place here. He's been really busy with E3. He basically does a lot of the things on our website. He not only is big into the wrestling section, but he also does a lot with the gaming section. And so that kind of splits his time in between, you know, us and some of the other things he's doing, and I totally get that. And tonight he needed a break, so we're going to give him that opportunity to take a little bit of time off and rest, and hopefully we'll have him here Thursday night for Wrestling of the Max Part 2. But yeah, Paul, I mean, we are here and I am ready to talk about some different things in the world of wrestling. We've still got some stuff going on with John Cena. We have heard a few rumors out there about what's going to be taking place next when his return is coming forth on July 4th. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking about Roman Reigns. He's got that big announcement coming up. We're going to kind of think about it, maybe predict and kind of maybe see how we're feeling about what he's going to be getting into. Dalton Castle also has announced his future for the short term. Plus, we'll be getting into some other things in the world of wrestling that I think you're going to get into. Really, it's going to be some stuff going on with Bray Wyatt's personal life we'll also be jumping into. So trust me, lots of great news. I'm excited about getting into everything we have to offer tonight on Quick Hits. Plus, we're talking Ring of Honor TV. We've had a big one this week. So me and Paul will definitely be breaking that one down and getting into all that is Ring of Honor. Boy, that's a mouthful, Paul. Sometimes it's like, oof. But you have to give it all, you know. Let people know what's going on in the show, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so many programming notes we have to go through, too, still. Tomorrow, seeing as Sean's not on this show, me and him are going to do a special. So if you're looking for a Dominion review from New Japan, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. They also announced the cards for the G1 special in early July. We'll talk about that. And as well as the Kizuna Road cards, which are building up to that G1 special. They have those cards announced. We'll talk about those. And also the announcement that they're going to do all the G1 stuff for the tournament, actually. They're going to announce the names and stuff like that during that. So we'll talk about all that tomorrow night after we do SmackDown 205 Live, probably.
Yeah, so look for that W2M Extra. And, of course, it'll be all about New Japan. So if you're a New Japan fan, you don't want to miss that. Don't forget about it. Now, once again, it's why you subscribe, right? That's to get basically right there in your dock. You don't have to think about it. It's already there. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great. I'm excited about all that taking place tomorrow night. This has been a pretty crazy week. Of course, you know, some of the wrestling news we've kind of, you know, are going to get into is going to be very interesting. It's not all, you know, crazy for the fact that, you know, death and depression. That's the positive thing. We're not going to bring any of that stuff into play. But we are going to talk a little bit about these guys' personal lives a little bit more, and that's what's kind of fun about this. So I'm looking forward to talking about quick hits and all that it's entailing in that. So let's go ahead and do that, Paul. Let's jump into quick hits right now.
It's time for...
Well, the song froze up on me, so let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes that happens. It's kind of one of the weird things with technology. Yeah, so I think the thing we want to start off by talking about tonight is something that I think a lot of people are really curious to find out about, and that's John Cena. And I know not everybody listening right now, and maybe even me and Paul personally, are big John Cena fans or anything, but it's for the fact that you kind of have to keep a gauge on where John Cena is, right, Paul? I mean, he's a big name, and not only that, you know, if he's on a certain brand, he's going to, well, let's be honest, dominate at parts of those shows. So that's why you got to kind of keep your finger pointed at him and see where he's going. Now, what the rumors are right now is that when he does come back on July 4th, there could be a multitude of things to take place. But one of those things that could be part of the process with John Cena is that he will no longer be a SmackDown exclusive superstar. So that means he could cross over to the Raw brand as well, challenge for other titles, challenge just other wrestlers in general, and not be exclusive to what's going on over there on SmackDown. That would basically make him a free agent within WWE. I'm not sure how I feel about this, Paul. I mean, I get the thought process because he is such a big star. He's this generation's Hulk Hogan, so it's kind of good to have him on Raw for the kids who may want to go see him on, you know, whenever they're in town for the Raw brand, but I don't know how I feel about it.
You know, I think this makes sense as for the WWE at this point. He's a part-time guy. I don't know if they know how much time he has left in the ring. I don't know if he knows how much time he wants to be left in the company, because as much as he says it, I mean, if Hollywood does come calling like it did for The Rock, I would think he would be gone, just because it's an easier way to make a lot of money. So, if he still wants to be around, then props to him. But this way they can keep big marquee matchups across both brands alive by having him sort of pop in whenever they need him to, or whenever he decides, or whenever his schedule allows him to, with all the movies and stuff that he's doing now, to wrestle these big matchups. So I think it makes sense from that standpoint. I'm kind of with you, though. I mean, granted, Cena is still their number one guy, so... What do you do? Because keeping him on SmackDown, I guess it seems sort of limiting to him, especially because they seem to want to do so much more, and he's an easy way to generate interest and whatever else that comes along with that for whatever show he's on. So I think that's probably their biggest line of thinking.
Yeah, and you know, being the number one guy has a lot of responsibilities, of course, tied to it. But it also means you've got to be able to do multiple things, including be a part of Monday Night Raw, which is their flagship show, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that they want to include him in some of the things they do on that show. Not only that, but they want to be able to do just what you were pointing out. Have him have a flexible schedule where maybe SmackDown already has a full card and they've got a lot of great feuds going. They don't want to screw anything up. They know that maybe John Cena's time frame between movies or whatever he's doing is very limited, so they can't just throw him in a match on SmackDown. So, hey, let's put him on Raw. That may be the thought process, and they can do that now. They're not kind of tied and handcuffed to, well, if it's not on SmackDown, it's not on anything. So right. I think you're onto something with that. And not only that, once again, I mean, he's a big draw. You can now have him on some Raw house shows if he decides to do a few house shows, things like that. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't be making the, well, he's not technically a part of Raw. Well, now it doesn't matter. So, you know, at times I kind of used to think the same thing about Brock Lesnar. I'm like, why are you just making Brock a name on Raw, which I get it, flagship show once again. But what if you had some guys on the SmackDown roster you'd like to see Brock Lesnar wrestle? Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen unless they make him a free agent. And I think that may not be a bad idea either. Now, we're talking about two different brands here, right? I mean, SmackDown is really, let's be honest, more free, more available when it comes to having guys who are used to the indie scene. You get a little bit of a situation where you're able to use those type of guys on SmackDown because it has a little bit more free form. Whereas on Raw, it's kind of regulated. It's strict WWE formula. No matter what, usually it's strict. SmackDown has that kind of free love life, all that kind of stuff going on over there. So maybe it doesn't really fit Brock Lesnar. Maybe that's why they don't do that with him. But he's a guy that I would kind of think would have that opportunity. But John Cena, once again, he's a guy that they need to have this opportunity with to kind of float around and do his thing. He's at that age too, right? Like you were just pointing that out. He's getting closer to the retirement age than he is full-time wrestling. So you want that. You want that available for him. And I don't think either of us are going to complain about it as long as they don't jack up some of the good feuds just to put John Cena in them.
Yeah, I think what you're thinking along the lines of, too, SmackDown is very much geared towards trying to make new people with what they got over there because they have such a smaller roster. Well, if you need to clear up some space, you can ship John Cena over to Raw, where they have a plethora of time, and you can have a more focused two-hour show that you don't have to worry about getting Cena onto the card for. Obviously, I don't think that's the plan in the short term for him, because what we keep talking about in all the SmackDown reviews are just when we talk about John Cena's return in general, has also been quote-unquote penciled in, according to the rumor mill, that he's going to be facing Jinder Mahal for the WWE World title at SummerSlam, which just makes sense with the return date and everything like that. So, you know, I don't know how long it's going to be till maybe we see him pop up on Raw, but it is a distinct possibility.
And this is something crazy, Paul, and maybe I'm way out of line in thinking this, but do you think it's a thing with Vince that he kind of wishes that the WWE Championship was on Raw, and maybe they had made a new world title over there on SmackDown instead of having the Universal title, which was basically built for the Raw champion? Do you think he kind of wishes he could have that back, and maybe this is a way to do that?
You know, I hadn't thought of that just because it seemed like they gave SmackDown the world title because it was established, right? You had Dean over there. He was going to run the show. It gave you some structure to, I think, let you take a lot of chances that you could at the beginning because you had the established championship and all that stuff, right? I think it worked on Raw, at least because on Raw they keep talking about this new era of WWE, and so they created a new title, and you have all these younger stars at the time of creation competing for it. That has not turned out to be the case due to injuries and whatever else has happened to them over there. So, I don't know. Maybe. The first brand split, they seemed to make a point of, once they made the new title on Raw, because they did the same thing, they switched it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. You know, I don't know. I just, these are the few things that kind of pop in my mind, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's their motivation, right? Mm-hmm. Why are they going in this form, and what is the secret plan? Or maybe it's not so secret. So, who knows? Once again, the John Cena thing, Yeah, I think honestly it works. I don't want them to just be putting him in spots or just giving him these main event spots just to give them to him because he's going to need something to do. I think also it's also something special if he does show up on Raw, and maybe, you know, it really does help maybe some of the ratings, whereas let's be honest, the Raw ratings have not exactly been exemplary. And maybe John Cena not being there has been part of that, and it's weird to say that. But maybe it is because maybe the younger fan base is not so into Raw as much as they were because, hey, we know we're not going to get to see John Cena, so why even watch?
Right.
So, who knows? That could be a part of it as well. Let's talk about Bray Wyatt for a minute here. Bray Wyatt has been, you know, doing his thing. There's not really anything change on WWE television or anything with him, but in his personal life, there is some change. His wife has filed for a divorce, and of course, you know, with that comes a lot of legal proceedings on, you know, monetary and other things within their personal lives. And she is claiming that he cheated on her, and she is very specific on who with who. She's claiming JoJo is the exact person that Bray has been cheating with. Bray has said, nope, that's not the case, has denied that. But that brings up a lot of things, and he really kind of says to everybody and lets this be known that he thinks his wife is just out to damage his credibility and damage his image. So this is a messy situation for Bray. I hate to hear that, you know, and this is something in the world of wrestling that's not really anything new, Paul. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once again, you're seeing it still in this generation of wrestlers as in a guy like Bray Wyatt or having to deal with these type of issues in their personal life.
Yeah, I mean, you see this, like you said, this isn't uncommon, right? And there are some guys who are, in fact, legendary for how much they got around backstage and anything like that. And I mean, to me, it always makes sense that you end up finding somebody that you're into because you're on the road all the time. And if you are married and you don't have somebody in that life with you, it's kind of hard, especially in the WWE, to see them, much less try to have a relationship with them. So when you find somebody on the road, like, it just feels like a much more natural connection for them, I'm sure. So it absolutely sucks that this is happening to them. Like, this is all alleged. So there's nothing, like, we don't know for a hard fact, although the internet has had a field day with making all sorts of fun memes and stuff like that, so, you know, internet being the internet, but it's, you know, it's sad, right? I mean, you never want to see anybody try to go through this. They have two kids as well, so that's,
oh
yeah, it's going to be rough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard, and I really do feel for him, and of course for his family in general. Like you said, bringing kids into that's tough, but this is something that's really honestly common in the American culture now. And, you know, if you're listening to us and you're not from America, I really don't know how a lot of, you know, people live in different countries and some of the social aspects when it comes to, you know, maybe the UK or South Africa or anywhere else. But in America, divorce is not uncommon. Broken families has become more common today than ever. So I just, you know, I have to say still it's not a good thing, even though it may be common, it's still sad. And, you know, Bray is trying to get his career in the right direction, and adding this onto it, it's not really helping him out too much. So I feel for him. I really, really do. I hope this all works out. You know, we've seen, you know, like you were just pointing out, Paul, a lot of wrestlers now have tried, at least in the WWE alone, have really tried to find someone within WWE or maybe even on the indie circuit or somewhere who is involved in the world of wrestling because they kind of share that bond and they know, hey, you know, this is what our life is like. You know, it's hard for a civilian to understand that life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the WWE, we know they're on the road 300 days a year. Some indie wrestlers, depending on who they are on the road for over 150, sometimes over 200 if they're very in demand. So, I mean, it's rough, right? I mean, you're spending indies for sure. You're away most weekends. WWE, you're away longer. There might be entire stints where you don't go for months without coming home. So, I can only imagine what kind of strain that tries to put on trying to have a personal relationship with somebody, let alone a marriage with kids and mortgages and all the other adulting responsibilities that come with that choice. So, you know, I mean, I feel for both of them. Obviously, if Bray did cheat, then obviously, you know, boo. But still, I mean, it's It's a rough thing to have to go through, no matter who you are.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, well, I hope everything works out and the best for you know all that's involved. Let's jump into something that I mean we saw on Monday Night Raw. You know, me and Paul did the Raw review earlier, and we touched on this, but we didn't get into it. So I kind of went on this show for us to talk about it for a second here, and that's the fact that they were announced that Roman Reigns will be talking on next Monday Night Raw about a big announcement about what's going to be happening at SummerSlam, at least when it includes him. So, you know, I just had to ask myself, Paul, I mean, what could that announcement be? I try to think to myself of, you know, why they're making a big deal of it now. I mean, they haven't got the Great Balls of Fire yet, but yet I think with the fact that he is not in anything big right now, that's why they're going ahead and doing this. What do you think? What's your early predictions on what they could be announcing for Roman?
Gosh, you know, if it wasn't for all the talk of Braun maybe possibly challenging for the championship at SummerSlam still, I would say this is how you bring Braun Strowman back, is interrupt this and let them have their final big blow-off at SummerSlam. Just because it still hasn't really gotten that payoff yet. So that would make sense to me. If they decide to change things around on SmackDown, it could be a match with John Cena. So, I mean, it could just be an open challenge for all we know. I haven't a clue how they're going to do this, especially since this is the first really big pay-per-view since the brand splits, or I guess instead of WrestleMania. And we don't know if they can do cross-promotional matches yet. We haven't really seen one. So maybe they take that opportunity to do that here.
Yeah, and that, you know what's kind of funny you mentioned that, because I kind of thought that to myself of, you know, this is a big deal and this is SummerSlam, so they'll definitely have both brands involved in this show. Are they going to allow Roman to maybe take on somebody from the SmackDown roster, maybe someone that they kind of want to see them, you know, mix it up a little bit here and just you know, just to do it? Why not? And why not add another maybe really cool, fun match? And off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody on the SmackDown roster that maybe has a little bit of free time that's not really involved in anything really big right now that could jump in there and do that. And especially, you know, they're facing Roman Reigns, so they've got to be a big enough name for it to matter as well. So those are a few things that I was kind of thinking about when I was, you know, going about this and trying to figure this whole thing out. I think you're right on Braun Strowman being a big factor in this too, though, because of the fact that we still really never got Roman Reigns in his big payback against Braun Strowman. They really never got to really conclude that. I think they were still going pretty hot with that feud when they kind of had to split that whole thing up because of injury for Braun Strowman. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's not too late to get into that. So this is going to be interesting. I think with the smart choice would be Braun Strowman, but it would be really cool to see if they would do that cross promotional thing and have a big match between a Raw and a SmackDown Live guy. I think they may even do that a little bit here and there, maybe even under the undercard. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think the undercard could definitely have some Raw versus SmackDown matches.
I think that'd be cool. I don't exactly know who you could, just because, you know, a lot of people haven't really shown a lot of interest in those undercard people. So, it might be kind of hard to get people to care about it, but who knows? Like, you could maybe do a champions versus champions thing if you wanted to, or something like that. Another name that comes to mind for Roman, at least, we haven't seen Finn since the Fatal 5-Way yet either. Maybe he wants the demon, you know, conquered Taker at WrestleMania. Now he wants to fight another otherworldly being. So,
no,
yeah,
not a bad idea. I'd be into that. And, you know, it's something that we need to find out more about what's going on with Finn Balor and, you know, get people behind him even more. And him facing off against Roman Reigns, I mean, that's going to definitely get the crowd behind him more than ever. So, I don't know. Lots of questions. You know, with that crossover thing, though, Paul, the one thing I will have to say, could you just imagine the Fashion Files? Imagine that when they're trying to talk about Kaz and Enzo and what's going on with all that. Just them solving that case.
That could be really fun, too. Anything with those guys would be great.
I love it, man. I'm sorry. I just love the Fashion Files. It's unbelievable. But anyway, moving on past that, talking about that case with Enzo and Kaz, we kind of tied the Revival to that whole situation. Dash Wilder apparently has been cleared to get back in the ring. That's right. So it should not be much longer before we see the Revival back in action and on your TV screen. What do you think? I mean, are they going to shove this back into gear, or are they still going to get this thing revved up and let it warm up before they get these guys back in ring?
I guess that would depend on how quickly they think Dash is actually ready, because I think there's a time between getting cleared by doctors and a time when you show up in the ring that maybe you should maybe wait a little bit longer just to be on the safer side, especially with the way Talon has been getting injuries seem to be more common these days. So Dash, I think, you know, you still have 4 weeks till, well, I guess three now, technically, till Great Balls of Fire. You could have still another week of buildup before you reveal the Revival as your attackers and jump into booking Enzo and Cass versus those two and whatever you're going to do with the Big Show out of all of this, too. So you could wait a little bit longer if you wanted to, but I would totally be okay with them having the tag match at Great Balls of Fire for sure.
Yeah, and that could be kind of fun and interesting to see. So, you know, we'll be looking at that and to see what they're going to do with all that. It's going to be kind of fun, you know. Let's also talk about something else that I found really interesting, and this is something that you may or may not have seen on, you know, maybe YouTube or something, maybe WWE.com if you pay attention to what they have to offer people. But this is something that I think is a really good idea, and I think that, you know, maybe we'll see more of in the future when they, you know, have to include other festivals or anything when it comes to, you know, social life between, you know, people and maybe not exactly the world of wrestling. Let's talk about the Download Festival. That's right. We heard the Jericho, of course, with Fozzy was there. We also had Mark Andrews' band be there, Junior. They were a part of the Download. And being a part of Download, it's a kind of a cool deal. It's a huge deal over there in the UK. That's a great festival. Heard lots about it. But, you know, his band Junior did complete their playlist, and they, you know, were ending everything. And then all of a sudden, Pete Dunne runs out and attacks Mark Andrews, which is kind of unusual because, you know, usually they kind of separate those lives. But, it was something that they made happen. And, of course, that led to a match when NXT actually was going to be in that exact area when at the Download Festival. So this is something. Really, I mean, if you watch the video, Paul, I really thought it was neat. I thought it was kind of cool, and you see Mark Andrews, you know, kind of get back on the offensive and get on the mic and say, hey, you know, I'm going to come after him. What do you think about that? Do you think it's kind of cool that this happened at the Download Festival and the way that they did this? I kind of appreciate the band themselves for allowing Mark to do this because, you know, some of those guys in bands can be kind of serious about their craft and say, this is silly, do not do that.
Mark Andrews Band Jr. actually did the entrance theme that Mark Andrews uses for the WWE shows, which is cool. I don't know if he's using it on the indie scene, but it's really neat. I was cool with this, right? I mean, it's a viral thing. It helps promote the NXT show that was going to happen at Download Festival, which I'm sure is the reason why they did this. But at any rate, this is still really, like, it blurring the lines like this is always something cool to see whenever you're wrestling happens in front of you in a place you don't expect it.
Exactly. And not only that, that's a huge stage. I mean, let's be honest. The Download Festival, even over here in the States, we hear about it. We know about it. It's a huge deal. And it's nothing to kind of snuff at or you know, say, hey, you know, who cares? No, this is a big show. This would be like over here in the States if, you know, we were going to have another huge, you know, festival, which we have a little bit of them here, but we don't have anything giant like this Download Festival, I don't think, unless, Paul, you can tell me if we do. But I think overall it would be like, you know, maybe an NBA game, a guy getting attacked, and it's like, oh, wow, everybody knows about this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. And so that's really cool for WWE. But not only that, it's really neat to have that crossover, like you're saying. The blurring the lines is kind of fun. It makes it feel believable. It's real. It's great. And so it's also exciting, and it promotes the NXT show that was at the Download Festival. So I think that that's a big deal, and I think it's also really cool. Now, the sad thing coming out of this is that Mark Andrews did get injured And one of the members of the Authors of Pain actually, you know, clotheslined Mark Andrews. He fell on his neck wrong, and they were really worried about him. They were kind of concerned and seeing if he was actually going to be okay. Apparently, a scan that was done showed that it was, you know, all okay. Everything came back negative. They just kind of saw a little bit of bruising on the neck. So, good. I'm very, very happy that Mark Andrews is okay. But that was kind of a scary thing, Paul.
Yeah, that video also, I think, went viral just like the attack did. He, you know, I mean, there's a point where flipping out of a clothesline is selling how hurt you are and how hard he's hitting you. But sometimes, man, just take the bump on your back. Like,
yeah. Oh man, that's it's sick. But yeah, I mean, that it probably wasn't his thought process though. He was going to sell it as much as he could, and that's what he did. You know, so I mean, you got to give those guys credit for doing that. But man, I'm trying to think of what wrestler says this, but maybe Jim Ross or somebody says you only got so many bumps. And remember that, man. You can only fall on your neck that way so many times before it doesn't end up so well.
Right.
So. But, you know, it's a sweet and sour weekend for this guy, right? I mean, he had a literally cool situation go down with his band, and the next thing you know, he's like, oh, am I done for the year? I don't know. So, but we'll continue to follow with Mark Andrews. I love the guy. I'm excited about seeing what else they do. And, you know, we're talking about this now. They are probably, or I say probably, but we may see NXT actually air some of this stuff. We don't know that. But, hey, if we spoil it, we're sorry. We just thought it was really relevant, and we wanted to kind of touch on it before we moved on. So let's talk Dalton Castle. I'm a huge fan of Dalton Castle, but this is well known, especially listening to this show. And if you hear me talk about it during the Ring of Honor segment, you know how much of a big fan of I am of him. And for the fact that I've also been kind of looking forward to the fact that, you know, one day he could sign with WWE and see what he does in that realm with the kind of stage and all the other great things that they can offer Dalton Castle. Now, we've heard that his contract is coming up and that it was going to expire really soon. We are getting word now, though, that he is not going to be joining up with WWE. He will actually be signing, and may have already actually signed this deal with Ring of Honor. So he's going to continue down that journey and follow along with what they have next in store for him over there at Ring of Honor. I don't know, Paul, if I really don't hate this. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed. I was really looking forward to seeing him joining up in WWE, but I can't say I hate it because I think he's really well placed in Ring of Honor. I think he offers that promotion a lot, and I think they can do a lot more with him.
Mm-hmm. For sure, I think Ring of Honor at least just breathed a huge sigh of relief because they have a lot invested, I think, in Dalton Castle. He's sort of on that plateau of being a main eventer for him, but he can certainly work any spot in the card, and you know he's going to get a good reaction. So they at least have that in their back pocket now because they've been losing guys left and right, and it's nice to at least see them try get a win here. I think for Dalton, this might have been a safer move. Obviously, you know what you're getting here, and maybe he didn't get the offer he wanted from WWE or anything like that, but staying with Ring of Honor, you can at least keep working that life you're familiar with. You can obviously, he still has more to accomplish in Ring of Honor if he wanted to stay, too. So doing this, maybe he ends up getting a title run out of this or something like that now, you know?
Oh, for sure. And that, you know, is probably something he talked about with the Ring of Honor officials and said, hey, you know, I'm really considering staying here. Mm-hmm. Do I have a chance to, you know, do more things in this company, or is this as much as I'm going to get? And they may have even said, hey, you stay with us, we'll give you that opportunity. You know, who knows? But you're right. This is a very, very safe move for Dalton Castle. But, you know, maybe a smart move also for the fact that, you know, we're already seeing Adam Cole hop over to NXT. We've seen a lot of other stars join up with NXT as of late. And I think maybe he said to himself, you know, I'm piggybacking along with this. I may not get a chance to make the splash that I want to make if I do it now. So right. He could wait.
Yeah, and I think with maybe, I don't want to say the debut of Patrick Clark, but they do work a similar gimmick. And him being in NXT at the same time, obviously I'm sure they would change him up some, but you have that possibility of maybe what's the word I'm looking for? Just being too similar, and they don't see that they have a need for you right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good point. Let's be honest. I think, you know, it wouldn't take long before we'd all be saying, "Who's Patrick Clark? Yeah. Well, what's the Velveteen Dream?" I don't know. And I hate to say it that way, but I'll be honest with you. I just think Dalton Castle's got this going. He knows what he's doing, you know. So it would not surprise me if that was not to happen. But once again, I mean, this is, like you said, a safe move. Dalton Castle has a lot to offer Ring of Honor. I'm very happy for Ring of Honor because I enjoy the promotion. I think they can, you know, build on this and then build him to be right out that door later on down the road. Now, I don't know the terms of the contract. I have no idea how long this deal is. Mm-hmm. Would surprise me if this was not maybe a 1 to 2 year contract. So,
yeah, that's usually about how long Ring of Honor ones work for, is about a year or two. So.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're a big Dalton Castle fan like I am, and you want to see him in WB, hey, you know, there's still that opportunity. Don't get bummed out too fast. I mean, he may be just biding his time.
Right.
So. All right, well, let's also jump into some Impact Wrestling talk. We just talked Ring of Honor. Impact Wrestling is going to be holding a ceremony to tribute the fallen people that fell about, what was it, a year ago, Paul, or 2 years ago?
It's a year. It's to celebrate the one-year anniversary.
The one-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, where a lot of people sadly lost their lives. So, I mean, I think this is great, and this is something that, you know, is kind of, I think, important because Impact has been a part of Orlando for so long now, and they're a part of the family down there in Orlando. So for them to do this, it makes complete sense. I think it's really an honorable thing on their part. I mean, what did you think when you saw this?
That's the whole reason I put this in the news. We don't really talk all that well of Impact sometimes, and this is a really nice move. They're involved in that community in Orlando. They do a lot there. Obviously, they've been headquartered there for a while as far as Impact goes. So this is really cool to sort of see him reach out to that community and try to honor a terrible, terrible happening that's become all too common in the States these days.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's really cool, too, because you know for the fact that, you know, Impact, like I said, has been a big part of Orlando, and people have, you know, of course, flocked to see shows, Universal and things like that. Not maybe not big numbers, but the locals that really do, you know, come around on a weekly basis when they are doing their shows there in Universal. You know, it means more to them, and maybe if it's just for them, that's great, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think once again, great stuff, and we, like you said, we don't talk a lot of good things about Impact, but this is one, so happy for them. And before we jump out of this, let's go ahead and mention that Rebby and Matt Hardy had their baby. Yeah, that is right. They had a baby son, and he actually was brought into this world on June 8th, and this kid has got a interesting name. It is not Birdie, and it is nothing else like that. It is actually another kind of interesting name, but this one I kind of get. Wolfgang Xander Hardy. So that sounds very much like a composer, and also sounds very much like something that Broken Matt Hardy would have came up with.
I think Wolfgang's a much more common than much more common name that I've heard, at least. Eddie Van Halen's son is named Wolfgang, who's of course a big rock star now. Wolfgang Amadeus, of course. So I mean, it's a name that it's not out of nowhere. Like Birdie, like who's named Birdie anymore, right?
In 1920 something, there were women named Birdie.
Yeah, that's a throwback for sure, but I've always liked the name Wolfgang, though. It sounds cool.
Yeah, well, it does. I keep thinking of a composer, and I know Wolfgang Puck and all that, you know, making delicious food. But it sounds very fancy. But that's also why I said it sounds like the Broken Hardy stuff, right? Very intelligent, right? But, I mean, that's really cool. They always had some really unique names in that family. And so, I mean, think about it, you know, Jeff Hardy's real middle name is Nero.
Right.
I mean, that's not a fake thing. That's not anything that they just threw out and came up with. So it is something that, you know, it's kind of a family tradition of interesting names. You're right. Wolfgang is not an oddball name, but it, you know, it's still not exactly Bob or Jim, you know, Gary or Paul.
Right.
So, you know, congratulations to the Hardy family. I like the name. I really do. It fits in. And apparently Maxwell is really taking kindly to his new tag team partner. So, good job.
Good news.
Yeah. So, the future is set for a new Hardys. So, don't worry, guys. There will be Hardy Boys later on in life, hopefully. Yeah.
We'll just be, you know, 60 by the time they debut.
Yeah, they'll debut and we'll be like, well, thank you for listening to the end of our lives. But anyway. So that is Quick Hits, everybody. A good time has been had on that. But we do want to let you guys know that we are going to talk some Ring of Honor TV, and that is going to be really exciting because there's a few things that I can't wait to talk to Paul about in this segment. So let's go ahead and do that now. Let's talk Ring of Honor.
All right. I was super excited to talk about this episode of Ring of Honor 2 because there's a lot of great stuff that happens on here. And a great opener match is to be had here as the Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, and Hangman Page take on Roppongi Vice and their surprise tag team partner, Trent's best friend, Chuck Taylor. I was so happy. I love Chuck Taylor. I've been a huge fan of his for years. Obviously, they're drawing on you knowing stuff about Pro Wrestling Guerrilla here because that's where these guys initially started teaming up. And have since taken that act up across the indie circuit. So this is just a super fun match. There's a lot of great athleticism, of course, lots of flips, lots of dives, your usual Young Buck fare, usual Roppongi Vice fare. I mean, just the story, though, between Rocky and Trent and Chuck trying to all get along together because it's two very different relationships with Trent here. They do end up getting the win here. Chuck Taylor puts one of the Young Bucks away, I think it was Matt, with the Awful Waffle to get his team the victory, and then they all hug afterwards after a match fraught with them trying to get along and Rocky and Chuck trying to one-up each other, and this is so much fun. I can't recommend this match enough to people out there listening right now.
This was a complete blast, you're right, and you know, that interaction between the three I really felt was actually its own thing, and it was actually kind of fun to see the reaction of Rocky, kind of pissed off about this whole thing, right? I mean, he's like, what the heck? Who is this guy? I'm your tag team partner.
Right.
And so you have that whole thing of, man, I what happened to our relationship? I love you too. And I love at the end, like Rocky runs up and just hugs him like, hey, don't leave me out.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you guys, you know? And that's what's interesting. So I do want to find out later on about this. Is Roppongi Vice in a situation where that may not be a thing anymore? Or is it eventually going to become a three-man team in a way where they all love each other, everything's good? I gotta know. So that was special on its own. The match itself, you're right, Paul, this was money, you know. And mm-hmm. It's almost like, and I don't want to be weird about this, but every time I see the Young Bucks are in a match, I want to say I feel like I'm gonna get a chance to go cash a check. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, this is a good feeling. I already know it's going to be good. It's like that feeling I get when I go to the bank, you know, and cash a check. So I think that this is something that, you know, we, you know, love about Ring of Honor, that we get that opportunity every once in a while to have these great matches. And this was an excellent way to start the show, right? It was just a lot of fun, a great match. During this entire match, you know, it could go either way. So very happy with it. I just loved it overall.
I mean, the Young Bucks have become, I think, an acquired taste because you either run into people who love them or you run into people who can't stand them. And I don't think I've met anybody who's just in between on them, you know. So they do have their drawbacks to the Young Bucks, but they're such a fun team to watch. I think they've grown immensely since I first started watching them back in the early to mid-2000s now, and I feel old for saying that. But for sure, you know, I understand the detractors on it, but they're just a fun team. If you can't get over that, then just take wrestling a little less seriously, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Take it less for sure. I mean, there's no reason to get all angry about it. You know, people, come on. But no, think about this, and maybe this is a silly, you know, comparison, but I kind of look at the Young Bucks like you look at Family Guy. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that Family Guy was great at the beginning, and now they're bored of it. They're like, good God, get that off my TV. And then you got guys like me who watched Family Guy back in the day and watch it. And yeah, they've had their moments, but I still love watching Family Guy. Give it to me. Give me the new jokes. There's other great stuff to come in play. And I think the same with the Young Bucks. Sometimes the Young Bucks do the same shtick, right? That's their thing. You know, they've been living off the same catchphrases, living off the same moves, doing some of the same shtick for so long. But yet, and some of these other matches that they're involved in, it still feels fresh at times, and it still feels fun, and it's a blast, and it's not about taking the Young Bucks serious as much as it is just enjoying what they do. And some people can't do that, and I get that. I get it. There's people out there who take this very serious, and I may not be one of them, but I just think you're missing out if you're not just enjoying the Young Bucks and what they offer. Heck, even, you know, I love the fact that you got the Hangman Page with these guys, a very serious wrestler, very much on the other opposite end of the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. He's not a fun and games kind of guy. He's not interested in playing. All he wants to do is go in there, kill you, 1, 2, 3. He wants to be the victor. And if it's not him being the victor, it's not ending up well at the end of the day. So I think that it's fun to see that also being a part of this, and you know, something that I think a lot of people may not really play into the whole thought process. But Bullet Club did a good job, Repugnant Vice. And, of course, you know, I don't know a lot about Chuck Taylor personally, Paul. I don't watch a lot of PWG. But I thought it was fun to watch him, and it was kind of a cool debut.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the live crowd obviously certainly knew who he was from. Chuck Taylor works everywhere besides PWG. He works Chikara, which used to run the 2300 Arena a lot. He's worked Combat Zone Wrestling, which used to work that building. He's worked so many places, Evolve and Dragon Gate USA back when that was still running. So the Philly area is obviously intimately familiar with this guy, and it certainly shows here with the crowd, thankfully. And at least hopefully he got you excited. He's a great athlete, too, and he's also just a fun wrestler to watch, too. So,
yeah, I'm just disappointed I didn't know more about him. I know about him because of Colt Cabana. Other than that, you know, so.
Yeah, who did a phenomenal job on commentary, by the way. He's been such a great piece added to that team, for sure.
You're right, and that's what's, and it's kind of funny, but, I mean, he talks about this on his own personal podcast, but I want to say this. It is funny. They have a guy like him available to wrestle on Ring of Honor TV, mm-hmm. yet they say, no, commentary, let's do it. Let's go and see what you got. And he's a pretty darn good commentator. I can't lie. I'm really enjoying what he's got to offer. So, hey, if that's the way I got to get it, I'm okay with it because it's good stuff.
Right, for sure. So the Kingdom gets some promo time afterwards. They talk about how much they hate the boys. They still blame him for breaking... Oh, geez. Why am I blanking on his name?
Now I can't think. I know who you're talking about. Oh, Jesus. Well, both of us are going crazy now.
Sassy Wild Horse. I know his nickname. I can't think of his real name. This is going to bug me.
Oh, well. This is embarrassing in a way because
TK
Thank you. And it was funny. I kept wanting to say KO, and I'm like, Gary, it's not KO. That's Kevin Owens. Hey, TKO. Thank you, Paul. My God. I didn't want to just be an idiot. I'm already an idiot. Move.
That's okay. I'm right there with you, buddy. Not a smart man.
So what do you think about this, though? Tell us about what they said here, because this is kind of interesting.
I still got it wrong. It's TKO Ryan, not Riley. So they hate the boys. Vinny and Matt Taven are going to take on the boys in tag team action next week, try to get some revenge. The boys get some more hatred thrown at them later because Jay Briscoe is still pissed off about losing the six-man tag match last week, and he lays out a huge string of profanity at their feet and is looking to beat the bejesus out of them at some point in the near future. Boys ain't doing so well, Gary.
No, they're not. And they pissed off the wrong guys. You know, the one thing that's kind of weird, people, and maybe I'm looking at this from the wrong perspective, but I'm thinking these guys are They're really pulling at straws to be pissed off against the boys. Yes, the boys cost them the match, and yes, they screwed him over because they were protecting their guy, Dalton Castle, but that's their job. So you're pissed at them to do their job to take care of their guy, you know, Dalton Castle. And I get it, but man, they are super pissed. I mean, you'd have thought that the boys went into their house and slapped their wives and kids and burned down their farm up there in Delaware, wherever it is. Is it Delaware, I think?
Delaware.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, they just are super pissed. So I'm a little bit surprised about that. But maybe that's what happens when you hang out with Bully Ray. I mean, little things piss you off.
I mean, and Briscoe's never been a picture of sanity either, so, you know.
It's kind of true. So, no, but, I mean, it, you know, it's another story. That's fine. It is what it is. I just, it's like, hey, you know, you guys are the Briscoes. You guys are decorated champions. You guys are the tag team of tag teams in Ring of Honor history. And you want to beat these little guys up. Okay. It's kind of like that whole... Is this really what you want to be doing? You want to be picking on poor Joe Dirt? That's kind of the way I feel about this. is this really Briscoe's? Is this what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? You're picking on the poor boys? Come on.
Maybe it is. Who knows? Obviously, this is all trying to keep that six-man world tag team title situation fresh and feuds and all that good stuff. I get what they're going for, but you are right. It's a little flimsy.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Briscoes take it too far, then we'll just have to see how that goes. But
well, it's also, really quickly, it also brings in the fact that this is going to heat Dalton Castle up maybe to another level, too. So we got to take into that part of this because we really kind of left him out in the cold. I think this is going to make Dalton Castle even more infuriated because of that. So we'll see.
Right. Yeah, he's very protective of those boys. Jay White gets sort of a spotlight video package. They talk about his career in the New Japan Dojo. They talk about how he got into wrestling. They talk about all of his great matches he's had with Jay Briscoe and Will Ospreay since coming to Ring of Honor. And then he starts running, tearing into Punishment Martinez, who attacked him in the post-match on the World of Worlds pay-per-view after that match with Will Ospreay, which is phenomenal. If you haven't seen it yet, go find it. And he says he will face the big man anytime, anywhere. I think it would be a good match. I just, I fear for Jay White's safety at that point, you know?
Yeah, oof. But you know what? In an instance, they really built this guy up great in this package. I mean, really, just by him talking to you, explaining where he's from, who he is, this is very reminiscent of what some of WWE has done. And so, Ring of Honor, I just got to give you a big hand clap on that. You guys really gave this guy an opportunity to look excellent just by his story alone. And it all made sense, and you understand where he's from. You can kind of feel like, you know, you can not say relate to the guy, but you kind of have more a feeling for who he is, and you kind of sympathize with the guy. So that's great. Now we know more about Jay Wyatt. We understand his background. And now in this process of, hey, he's going to go and beat this guy up, Punishment Martinez, or is he? And I love that he went from talking about himself to all of a sudden getting angry and starting to kind of really focus on Punishment Martinez. So that was a great transition. Maybe not the most intimidating guy when it comes to, hey, you know, you better watch out. But I still think he did a good job, so I got to give him credit. And I liked it. And I have no idea, Paul, how this match is going to turn out, because I could see it going either way. But I definitely know that Punishment Martinez is not going to make life easy for Jay Wyatt.
Absolutely. He had lots of dives in that, too. They both like to do that. So whether that happens at the upcoming Best in the World pay-per-view or not, I haven't a clue. Well, I guess I kind of do, because this next match tells you. The Rebellion, Shane Taylor and Rhett Titus take on the Search and Destroy contingent of Jay White and Jonathan Gresham. Alex Shelley is doing commentary. The Rebellion, of course, has Caprice Coleman at ringside with him. Gresham gets beat on for most of the match. He finally tags out to Jay White. They run wild on him a little bit, and then we start getting a lot of interference. You have Caprice get involved, and then you have Kenny King return, and he gets involved. And this brings in Shelley and Sabin to run them off, and the referee ends up throwing the match out. Which, you know, obviously, so it's a no contest, and the match is fine, right? It's nothing overly exciting, it's nothing terrible, though. And this all leads up to the post-match promo where Shelley wants a 4-on-4 tag match at Best in the World, with the losers being forced to disband. I already don't like the babyface's chances in this.
Yeah, exactly. And why is that? Well, because these baby faces all have the opportunity to do their own thing, and it looks a lot better compared to the heels. The heels, they kind of not need each other, but a little bit more than the faces do. So it already kind of spells up to maybe being bad luck for the faces. This match itself was fine. I mean, I really, you know, enjoyed seeing everything they had to offer. I wouldn't say it blew me away or anything, but I got what they were getting. And of course, with the interference at the end with Kenny King jumping in and all that, I appreciated the build here, and it gave you the reason why you should care about what that last statement was about, you know, hey, whoever loses disbands. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that the Motor City Machine Guns have to disband as well? Like, they can't be a tag team anymore? Because they were kind of mentioning that on commentary.
I would think so, because they mentioned the same for the Rebellion, because Kenny King and Rhett Titus have been, you know, in the All Night Express for forever, essentially, except for the one time where Kenny King left for the supposedly greener pastures of TNA and then came back. So, I would think so. I think it means you can't, like, no combination of the team can work together anymore.
Wow. That's kind of sad, but hey, you know, it's not the first time the Motor City Machine Guns have been broken up, so it is what it is. Right. Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is kind of writing on the wall. I don't have a problem with it, but I think this whole thing between these two teams have actually been kind of compelling. I've kind of enjoyed watching some of the back and forth. The matches have not maybe been explosive to the fact of, you know, oh, that was a 4 to 5 star match, but they've been fun.
Yeah, they've been fun. I'm sure they'll have a really fun match at the pay-per-view, too. Yeah. So, Kazarian talks about Best in the World, too. He's got a strap match with Hangman Page. He's really looking forward to it more than he thought he was. And then that leads us to the main event, which we kind of already knew the result to, because it's the ROH World TV title match. Marty Scurll defends against Kushida. This is a pretty fun match, right? They go back and forth. I think Kushida gets a whole lot. Marty sort of has to work from underneath a lot during this match, which kind of works out. Just as he starts getting the momentum going in his way, the lights go out. Somebody shows up in his big villain getup. It turns out to be Adam Cole. The distraction pays off for Kushida, who hits the Back to the Future, which, of course, is that small package suplex that he's been utilizing recently. And Kushida is your new ROH World TV Champion, which we already knew, but good for him. The match was really fun. And it's nice to see them sort of work in that Adam Cole story into all this. Maybe we'll get a rematch between him and Scurll, which I would be completely down for.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be really fun to see. I just, man, this match was a blast to watch as well. I think they did a good job, you know, and really showcased their talent. I cannot remember if did we go ahead and give Kushida? We saved these points for Kushida, right? Superstar of the Week. I cannot remember.
I think we gave them to him, but he's going to earn points this week for winning back the, a spoiler, he won the junior heavyweight title at Dominion for anybody listening, so.
Yeah, so of course you'll get more of that stuff tomorrow, but I think that this guy, once again, I mean, Kushida, just really doing great stuff, earning points from us, earning points just in the world of wrestling. People are loving this guy more and more, and you heard the crowd at Ring of Honor so far, just in love with him. So I don't regret this at all. I think this is a good move. I think that Marty Scurll, I mean, he's been a great television champion. He's really represented very well, and him losing this, not a bad idea, especially with him being part of the Bullet Club. I mean, he's got other pastures, other things he can do, you know, so this makes sense to me, and I'm very happy with it. Of course, with this New Japan and Ring of Honor, you know, relationship, this kind of stuff can happen, and it's nothing but good, if you ask me, so I'm good with it, and congratulations to Kushida, even though this is old.
Absolutely. And that's your Ring of Honor for the week.
All right, guys. Well, yes, that is our Ring of Honor, and that's also our show for tonight. Appreciate everybody that has joined us. This has been a lot of fun. We definitely miss Sean, but, you know, we understand, hey, the guy needs some nights off, and sometimes we do too. So it happens. But we will hopefully be getting him back on tomorrow night. Be looking for him to be a part of that in New Japan show. We are going to do an extra. It'll be Paul and Sean talking all about Dominion and some other big announcements for Ring of Honor. In New Japan. My God. Ring of Honor may be involved in there somewhere. I don't know.
They are.
But New, yeah, so there you go. So I didn't screw up too bad, Paul. See? Oh, God. I've got Ring of Honor on the brain now. But yeah, no, it's a New Japan special you guys do not want to miss. Sean and Paul are going to do it like they always do and get you into a great mode of excellent New Japan content. Also, don't forget, they'll also be doing the 205 Live and SmackDown Live review shows tomorrow as well. You're going to want to hear all about all the great things that are taking place on those shows. Plus, on Thursday night, of course, it'll be available Friday morning on the download. We'll be doing part two of this show, Wrestling to the Max, 251. And that'll be a lot of fun, too, because we'll not only be talking Lucha Underground, but we'll also be talking some other great wrestling news when it comes to quick hits. So you're not going to want to miss that show and all the other great stuff that we have to offer. And best way to go find it, W2Mnet.com. Also, subscribing at Wrestling to the Max or to the W2M Network. So there you go, guys. We have had so much fun on this episode. I know I have. And, you know, that is it. So thanks a lot for listening. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn. That is Paul Leeser. And we will see you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.